Here this morning. Appreciate it so much. Usually when we greet each other as we come into the church building, we'll say, how are you doing? And most of the time we say, oh, I'm okay. How about you? And I wouldn't exactly call it lying, but but sometimes if we took a moment, we could probably list out a lot of the ways in which we're not doing so good. And most of those ways, a lot of times, would be physical. Physically, we're not doing so good. Sometimes just as a kind of a fun thing to do, I'll make a list of all the things that is wrong with me. you know, I got this problem, I got this back problem, I got high cholesterol, I got. Yeah, well, you probably do. There are a lot of people here who could beat my list, I'm sure. But how are you doing is mostly just being polite, but we do care about each other, about how we're doing physically. But this morning I want to ask you how you're doing spiritually. How are you doing? And I use as my text this passage that was read in our scripture reading, Luke chapter 5, where Jesus talks about spiritual illness, spiritual sickness. The Pharisees complain about Jesus, and they say, why are you spending so much time with sinners? Why are you eating with sinners? All these bad people. And that bothered them. Tax gatherers, sinners. Jesus, you're supposed to be a rabbi, a teacher of the law. You're supposed to be a man of God. Why are you spending all this time with sinners? Jesus says, well, that's the people who need the help. Verse 31, Jesus answered and said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, Paul would have been one of these Pharisees at one point in his life. You think about that. Paul, the apostle, he was a Pharisee. He was like these guys. And he would have looked down on sinners and said, oh, man, these are evil people. I don't want to be around these people. Think about that. And this attitude is not that unusual. We all kind of have this aversion to people that we think as being beneath us or somehow not behaving as well as we are or something like that. But here's the reality. I don't think that Jesus is saying here, well, you Pharisees, you don't need any help. I'm just going to help these people who need help. We're all sinners. All of us are sinners. I think there's a little bit of sarcasm in what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, why shouldn't I help these people? I came to help sinners. I came to help sinners. Because sinners are sick. They need a doctor. They need a physician. There is a spiritual illness that needs curing. And we don't often think of it that way. We don't think of sin and its consequences as being a kind of illness. But what it does when we think of it this way, and you know, Jesus says, those who are well have no need of a physician. We need something. We need help. We need treatment. We need doctoring in our soul, in our spirit. We're so fixated on our physical well-being, and when we get sick, we make sure we go get the treatment that we need, or we seek it out, or we go to the doctor, or we go get the medicine. When we're hungry, we feed the body. When the body is hurting, we rub it with salve, and we try to alleviate the suffering and the pain. because we feel it, and it's called disease. You know, did you know that the word disease means dis-ease? I mean, we're not at ease. We don't like it, and so we fixate on it. We want to get better physically. And Jesus is saying, this illness of the soul, it is what needs attention. We need to see it as a problem. Our souls are in jeopardy. We just sang a song. I want to go where the soul never dies. Because you know there's a place where the soul does die. And if your soul is sick and it doesn't get better, it will die. And that doesn't mean the soul will cease to exist. It means it will go to a place where the soul is eternally dead. I don't want to die spiritually. I don't want to experience eternal spiritual death. But if the soul is sick, and it is, we all have sick souls, we need the physician. We need help. Those who are sick need a physician. I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. We are sinners. We need spiritual help because there is such a thing as spiritual illness. And I want to talk about it for a few moments this morning. Why is the soul sick? Well, Jesus nailed it right there in that passage because of sin. We disobey God. We do things that we know are wrong. We neglect God. He is the source of spiritual life. And when we turn away from Him and deny Him and get away from Him, soul gets sick. But let's think of it in terms of the analogy of illness, spiritual illness, and the kind of things that makes us ill physically. There's reasons why people get physically sick. And one of those things have to do with poor diet. People get sick because they don't eat right. And we all know that we ought to eat better. And we try to eat better. We try to do a better job eating right because we know the consequences of not eating right. Did you know that not eating right can make you spiritually sick? Absolutely. In John chapter 6, Jesus rebukes the people who, you know, he fed them a lot of food. He fed thousands of people with just a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish, and they ate all that they wanted to, and they were filled. And I can just imagine, you know, these people who live such meager lives from day to day, they finally had a chance to eat as much as they possibly could. And I imagine they stuffed themselves. But then the next day they were hungry again. And they come back to Jesus. They say, feed us some more. Give us some more food. And Jesus says, you know, don't work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on Him the Father has placed His seal of approval. You know, you can be as careful as you want to be in making sure that you eat right, you eat a balanced diet, you eat every day, you eat healthy things. You know, you go in the store and you look at all those labels. Oh, this is good. This is organic. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at the salt there. Okay. Yeah. I guess all the nutrients I need, all the time people spend on that. You think about the millions of man hours and the billions and billions of dollars that people spend trying to make sure that they eat something. All the time and thought every day. What are we going to eat today? What's on the menu? Where are we going to go for lunch? Okay, what are we going to have for supper, honey? All of the thought that goes into that. And Jesus says, you know what? You can eat all you want. You can eat all. I can feed you and keep feeding you and keep feeding you this physical food. You're still going to die. You're going to die. And then where are you going to be? And if you're starving yourself spiritually, starving yourself, you're not taking any spiritual sustenance, and maybe what you are taking in is bad for you, your soul is going to be sick. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted the Lord is good. Babies are hungry. Babies, they want to feed. They want to eat. They cry if you don't feed them. And once they get a taste of something they like, they want more of it. I remember the first time, you know, we were real careful with our kids about not giving them anything sweet, you know, as a baby for a long time. And then somebody gave one of them a Coke. I forget which one it was. She sucked on that straw, got that Coke, and her eyes lit up. And then she had a death grip on that Coke. I'm not going to give this up. This is good stuff. Well, we ought to feel that way about the Word of God. We need the sustenance. We need to feed our souls, because without it, you know, we were worried about Joby, our granddaughter. She didn't grow real quick. You know, she wasn't getting enough, and it was because her she had a tongue tie a little bit, you know, and she wasn't able to suck well, and she wasn't getting enough nutrients, and it was a real concern. And so they worked on that, they fixed that, you know, and they worked on her jaws, and they got her to where she eats well. And think about how frightening that is. If a baby doesn't eat, doesn't get enough, are you wasting away spiritually? Are you? If you only ate food, physical food, if you only ate physical food the number of times in a week that you give attention to spiritual food, you only ate food the number of times you actually read from Scripture or prayed to God or came to worship, and that's the only number of times that you ate, what would you look like? Think about that. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. You're starving yourself. You are starving yourself spiritually, the Hebrew writer says. He rebukes these fellows. He says, look, why do I have to explain this to you again? Why does somebody have to go over this ground again? You should know this by now. And if you don't know this by now, then what have you been eating? What have you been feeding yourself spiritually? Your growth is stunted. Verse 13, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. If your spiritual growth is stunted because you have not been partaking of good, solid, spiritual food, then you are spiritually sick. You need to be put on life support or something. And if that situation doesn't change, you will die spiritually forever. Is that what you want? Take charge of your diet. And that means not simply eating good stuff. It means avoiding some bad stuff too. Look at this passage, Acts 14 and verse 2. But the unbelievers who stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Poison their minds. You know what poison is? That's something you ingest that'll kill you. It'll make you sick. When our kids were little, Beth and Katie, they were real small, we had a yew tree in the front yard. Now, I didn't really know what it was, but it had these little red berries on it. And one day that we were out in the yard and the kids were playing in the yard, and Peg noticed that Katie had given, or it was Beth giving Katie. Beth gave Katie a couple of these, picked them off the bush and gave them here. They were jelly beans. She was giving her jelly beans. They're poisonous. They're poisonous. We had to go and get Katie to throw up, you know, and get that out of her, that poison out of her. Scary. The world is full of poison, spiritual poison. You want to know why people are so messed up in the world and in this country? Why they are so crazy and they do such awful, terrible things to each other and they say such awful and terrible things to each other? They are spiritually sick. Spiritually sick because their minds are filled with poison. The devil is feeding them and feeding them and feeding them filth and garbage and disease and death. And they're just eating it and eating it. And their minds are so messed up. What are you eating? You're so careful about reading those labels on the stuff that you buy at the store. What are you eating spiritually? What are you tuning into? What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Spiritual poison is on the menu day in and day out in the world that we live in. Don't eat it. Reject it. Listen to God's spiritual truth if you want your soul to get better and to live. Of course, there's lack of exercise. We're all guilty of that too, aren't we? You know, not just eating a diet of Cheetos and Pepsi, but also sitting on the couch while we do it. You can't live your life that way, my friend. You can't just eat junk food and sit on the couch and expect your health to stay good. It's not going to work. You got to get up and exercise. You got to move your body. Work it out. Work the lungs. Work the heart. Get some motion going on. Well, you know that works spiritually too. You practice in your faith. Are you exercising your faith? Because if you don't exercise your faith, it's not going to be too good. It's not going to do too good. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, for physical training is some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. If you have good spiritual health, it'll make your life better right now. It'll make your life a whole lot better when this world is over with. But you've got to work it out. You've got to exercise your faith. You've got to strengthen your faith. And the Hebrew writer talks about this. Hebrews 12 and verse 12. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. You know, if you are walking in the wrong places, you're going to injure yourself. And if you're not strengthening yourself spiritually, strengthening your spiritual life by practicing your faith through prayer, through study, through worship. These are the things we do to make our soul, our spirit stronger by doing right by people and trying to help them. Practice your faith. You get stronger. You get healthier spiritually. But if you don't, waste away and die inside. That's what happened. Revelation 3 and verse 2. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Jesus rebukes those brethren and rebukes us as well. If we're doing nothing in our religion, if we're doing nothing in our faith, we're dying. Do something about it before it's too late. Poor hygiene is also a path to illness. If you don't wash, if you don't keep yourself and the things around you clean, you're going to pick something up and it's not going to be good for you. There's a way for us to wash spiritually and to be clean spiritually. And we teach our kids, you know, wash your hands, brush your teeth. You know, we teach them that. Are we teaching them what it takes to be spiritually clean? And we're so careful, you know, make sure and go shower and get clean and wash your clothes and wash your bedclothes and clean the house and wash the dishes because it's necessary for good health to have a clean home and a clean body. But a clean soul? Is your soul clean? Jesus talks about the Pharisees. You're all clean on the outside, but like a tomb on the inside, full of corruption and death. You wash the outside of the cup, but not the inside of the cup. Is that you? 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Are you practicing cleanliness in your soul, in your behavior, in your conduct, the things you think about in your head, the things you do, the things that come out of your mouth? Cleanse ourselves, he says. Let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. James 4 verse says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, how do you wash your hands? You live a clean life. How do you wash your soul? By seeking the Lord's forgiveness. John 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need that. We need to be clean on the inside. And the way that we are clean on the inside is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 9, 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you'd be insulted, I guess, if I said, when's the last time you took a shower? when's the last time you took a bath? Why are you asking? Well, I'm not trying to be too personal, but let me ask you this. When's the last time you asked for the Lord's forgiveness? Have you ever asked for the Lord's forgiveness? Can you imagine what a person would be like if they'd never bathed their whole life? Let me think about that. Never did one thing to clean themselves physically. What would they look like? What would they smell like? Would they even be still alive? I don't know. It could not be a pretty sight. Never, you know what the body exudes and the dirt we come in contact with and how that would build up over time? What would that look like if you never took one shower, one bath, never even washed your hands one time? What would that be like? Well, if you've never sought forgiveness in Jesus Christ and through His blood, that is what you are like on the inside. You don't know it. You don't see it because if that's all you've ever known, then you think that's normal, but it ain't normal. It's not right. And even if you have, if you're a Christian who's been baptized into Jesus Christ and you have washed your sins away and yet you've gone weeks and months and perhaps years and you have not asked the Lord's forgiveness, what have you become? When is the last time You got down on your knees and you confessed to the Lord and said, I am a sinner, I have done wrong, I need your forgiveness? Think about that. What's the state of your spiritual health if that's the case? Infection, of course, can hurt you, can make you sick and kill you. Jesus talks about how it's not what goes in your mouth, it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. Matthew 15 verse 18. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. It's like sepsis of the soul. It's like blood poisoning of the heart. It's like an internal infection that is set in and it's eating you up from the inside. Do you have that kind of infection in you, in your soul? 2 Timothy 2, 16 and 17, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Here's a couple of guys who are spreading lies and deceit and false doctrine, and people are believing it, and they're taking that in, and it's spreading. It's spreading like gangrene. Can you imagine if you had gangrene, if a lower extremity or your arm or foot had turned black and was just dying, and the flesh was stinking, putrid, stinking flesh, and it's coming up your arm. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, "We got to cut that off because it's spreading. It's going to kill you. It will kill you." Is the things that you've been buying into and believing and following your life like gangrene, like the gangrene of these two guys right here? How do you know? How do you know the condition and state of your soul if you haven't measured your health by the truth of God? You haven't had a checkup, so to speak. Infection is deadly. And then finally, lack of medical treatment. You know, if you don't get the medical treatment that you need because you got problems, you're going to die. Isaiah 1 and verse 6, the prophet talks about the state of the spiritual health of Israel. And he says, "From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged, are soothed with olive oil." You're nothing but one oozing sore from head to foot, and you haven't done one thing to cure it. How long can that condition go on? Revelation 3 and verse 17, you say, "I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing." A lot of people like that in life, aren't there? But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. You're not doing so good. Does that sound like a healthy person there? Does that sound like somebody you want to be? Wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked? That sounds like a person with problems. And yet there are people walking around all of the time. And because they have money and they think everything's going on in their life is okay, I'm doing okay. No, you're not. You're not doing okay at all. You need a checkup. You're not doing so well, my friend. Spiritually, you're dying. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. And that's a lot of the problem, you see, is blindness, spiritual blindness. People can't see that they're sick because their eyes don't work spiritually. They are ill-informed, misinformed. They don't understand. They don't see the truth. They don't see the truth of their true condition. And Jesus is saying, you need some of my salve for your eyes so you can see what you're really like, because you're not doing so good. And finally, we need the great physician himself. We need Jesus. We need his forgiveness. We need his healing. Isaiah predicts and prophesies of him in Isaiah 53:4, "Yet he himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains, but we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was upon him, and we are healed by his wounds." We need the healing that comes from Jesus. We need his forgiveness. We need his eye salve. We need his treatment. We need his consultation. We need his food. We need his exercise. We need his help. You need his help. I need his help. We all need his help, because he died to heal our wounds. And without that death to heal your wounds, you're going to die from them. In conclusion, take charge of your spiritual health. Take responsibility for it. Assess your condition, and I hope you have today. Change your habits. And seek out the true physician. Jesus came into this world to call sinners to repent because they're sick. Are you one of those sinners that needs Jesus to heal your wounds? You can begin your treatments this morning by obeying the gospel, declaring your faith in Jesus, turning away from sin in your heart, and being baptized. And when you go down to the waters of baptism, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you of your sin. And you can begin to eat true and healthy spiritual food and to avoid the disease and the death and the corruption of this world. To live spiritually. To go to that place where the soul never dies. And if you don't do that, I fear for you, my friend. If you want to seek the healing of the soul that Jesus offers, come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.
I don't know, I think Doug might have run dessert at lunch for me. But I think we're having dessert at 5:30, actually. So be back at 5:30, and we'll see you then. We'll be letting you close in prayer.
Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're truly grateful for this day that you've given to us. Grateful for the amount of weather and the amount of health that each of us have. Father, we pray for those of our number that are away from us, that are traveling, that you might give them safe travels and return them back to home safely. Father, we pray for those of our number that have ongoing health issues, that are struggling. We ask that you bless them, and if it be thy will, that you grant them a miracle and that you heal them. Father, we pray for the leaders of this great country that they might seek you out in counsel and you bestow upon them your wisdom so that this country can make great strides and improvement. Father, we pray for all of those in the world that have great hate. We pray that you might touch their hearts. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, for we know that we are weak and that we fail you. We ask that you help lift us up, help us to have that great heart. Father, we pray that we might have the wisdom to interpret your word and that we share that with others outside of your kingdom. Guide, guard, and keep us until the next appointed hour. In Jesus' great and holy name, amen.
How are you? Still ticking?
I'm still ticking, but I picked up.